The CFO Show is brought to you by Vena, the only complete planning platform natively integrated with Microsoft 365. With Vena, your finance and operations team can maximize your productivity and efficiency to deliver data and insights to your whole business faster. Vena lets your team use the Microsoft apps they already know and love, like Excel and PowerPoint, while giving your business the power of scale through a robust centralized database and AI capabilities. Learn more at venasolutions.com.
From AI-driven analytics to sustainability mandates, procurement is reshaping how we buy, transforming how businesses compete and thrive in a rapidly changing global market. We'll be discussing how finance teams can leverage procurement as a strategic function to drive value and innovation across the organization. And we'll share insights on how procurement trends have shifted in recent years, the role of technology and digital transformation in modern procurement processes, strategies for aligning procurement objectives with overall business goals, and how procurement can be an effective partner to the business. Our conversation will delve into emerging trends and technologies that are set to reshape procurement in the coming years. Joining me is Akhil Kasimali, the Procurement Director at Vena Solutions. With over a decade of experience, Akhil has established multiple procurement departments focusing on procure-to-pay processes and cost reduction, while also leveraging his background in accounting and sales to collaborate effectively with stakeholders. Akhil, welcome to the show.
Oh, happy to be here. Excited.
You've had an interesting career and it's eventually landed you in the world of procurement. Can you tell us a little bit about your journey?
I started off working for my dream company, the Vancouver Canucks, in sales, and eventually moved into accounting in the SaaS world. And that's when I discovered an opportunity to move into IT purchasing. And from there, my journey kind of started. Very luckily, was at a fast-growing SaaS company where there was a need for procurement. So was able to kind of learn by trial and started the function. And almost 10 years later, I find myself here working at Vena.
And you've helped a couple of companies in terms of starting their procurement function and then scaling it. So you've seen procurement evolve at different stages of a company, which is pretty cool. What are some of the trends that you're seeing recently when it comes to the world of procurement?
Putting the internal customer first. I think when I first started, we were using IT systems. We were using ERP out-of-the-box software for routing and really making sure the kind of the collaborators that are involved in procurement were taken care of, but we weren't thinking of the end user and the requester. So now all the software and focus is on how can we remove friction from internal users so they can have an easy, transparent experience when they're trying to purchase at a company.
What about other trends? I know we've heard a lot about supply chain disruption. We've heard about needs for efficiency within organizations. Would you say these are really just continuations of the same old same, or is anything new and changing there?
I think the one clear thing is visibility. Having more visibility and more data is allowing procurement professionals, finance, IT, whoever the stakeholders are, to make better and faster decisions.
Certainly what I've observed happening in procurement over the years is definitely new tools being available, expectations for procurement to be taking it almost to the next level in terms of it's not just about buying something, but it's about being more strategic in how it is we're buying things for the company. Are they hitting the mark? Are we doing it, you know, efficiently, removing that friction as you've talked about? What have you seen in terms of how technology is changing things?
The specific tools in the supply chain have really been available now. For example, if we're talking about SaaS management, there are tools strictly to manage SaaS now, whereas previously that would have been managed by ERP or spreadsheets. Now, because SaaS and cloud infrastructure is such a large line item and a big part of the cost profile, there are tools that will now manage SaaS, whether it's renewals, auto renewals, dates, the data, license management. There's a whole new industry that's been created in the last 5 years around just managing SaaS and cloud spend. And then you still have the fastly developing tools around contract lifecycle management and also price benchmarking. When we're talking about items that are services, contractors, consultants, and software, pricing can vary from company to company, district to district. So we're really wanting to find out and make sure we're getting the best price and the best value for the company. And these tools are really helping us with that.
In the old days, you negotiated the best you could. It was about hard negotiation, and then you thought you were getting maybe the best price. But now there's so much available out there to use data to tell, not only are you getting the best price, but what about your terms? How are they stacking up? How should you go about this? You know, it wraps itself around more holistic procurement, but also boosting the ability, I think, for the procurement function to really be ahead and helping know that the company is getting good value and not paying the wrong price. What have you observed there?
Yeah, I think that kind of goes with the alignment between procurement and the CFO or the office of the CFO, where we're looking at the total cost of ownership. So I think there are, you know, if you buy software, that's great. There's a price, there's license costs, but that's just kind of the top line cost. There's implementation costs. Sometimes there could be maintenance costs. And then with growth or more adoption, there might be additional modules, additional licenses, and then upticks at renewal. So the job of procurement is long-term success for the company, not just short-term wins and cost savings. So we want to look at the impacts and the total cost that a software or any purchase will have on the company, and then communicate that to the business when we are negotiating and making sure we're getting the right tool or service for our internal customers.
Along with that, when I think about procurement, whether procurement sits inside the Office of Finance or beside the Office of Finance, either way, they are close stakeholders. And similar to what we've seen in terms of the transformation to the Office of Finance, where needing to be more strategic, driving better business partnership, all of those things are absolutely required for procurement in terms of how and where they're going to play within the business as well. What are some examples of how you've seen procurement driving more value within the organization?
The big value driver that I've noticed as I've progressed in my career is building that partnership and also building that trust. So talking to some of these business units and letting them know that you're partnering and that you've done this before and your approach, you kind of build that trust so they let you kind of do your thing and engage with vendors and making sure you're going to provide value. For example, when buying software, the best outcomes I've seen is when procurement has been involved early in the process. So we're allowed to go along with the team. And a recent example, we were allowed to go through the RFP process with them to kind of plan what the end goal was going to be, what kind of solution they wanted and what they wanted to achieve. And, you know, you're all in the meetings early on, you're in the planning stages, and the negotiation kind of starts from day one. It's not at the end when you receive that fully or half-baked purchase request. You're kind of there right when the ingredients are coming together and you're working together with the business. So most recently, you know, there's many, many SaaS solutions that are being bought here, and being involved early has definitely generated the best outcomes for us.
When you think about how procurement best partners with the rest of the business, what are some of the lessons you've learned or things that you've seen in terms of how procurement can best go about doing that?
The best part is not being single-minded. So not just concentrating on cost cutting. That may be the biggest goal for procurement, but that can't be your the main focus for your conversation with the business. So understanding what the business's goals are. They might be needing the best quality vendor or a vendor in a certain location that's providing the best expertise. And those might be the drivers for them. So if you're coming in just talking about cost, cheapest cost, they're probably not going to work with you, or they're going to skirt around the procurement process. So understanding that upfront, building that trust, going back to that, and then you're going to get the best results. So if we're sourcing a consulting engagement or a contractor, that's cost is probably not the main driver in that situation, because there are going to be results that may drive revenue for the company that you want to address, and it's not about cost cutting.
And to do that, it requires those soft skills about listening, understanding what the goals are that the buyer's trying to achieve. Sometimes being a bit more patient and walking alongside them through the thought process, because that's how we get brought in earlier in the discussion, is when we aren't just seen, you know, procurement's not just seen as, oh, that's where they're going to go and tell me no, or this isn't the vendor, or we can't do it, that they're actually going to be there to help understand what I'm trying to achieve, enable me, maybe challenge me, but doing so in a way that helps us get to the right outcome at the end of the journey. And that's built on that relationship, that communication, that trust. And so it takes so much more than just negotiation skills when I think about procurement and partnering with the business.
The interesting part is probably the short-term versus the long-term goals. And short-term savings can be gained when you're thinking about a contract for 1 year, or you're looking at, you know, a short-term lease. And if goals are not aligned there, there could be some mistakes being made. So you want to look at the total cost of ownership, going back to that, and the multi-year impact on the business and on the company. And that can show up in a few different ways.
I imagine that being in procurement, sometimes you feel misunderstood by your partners in finance. What would be something that you think finance doesn't understand about procurement that you wish that they knew?
Understanding that procurement, even if they do sit in finance, that they're basically responsible for the entire company. And they have many, many stakeholders that they have to treat equally, and balancing their requests. So you have IT and IT's needs, security, operations, project management, legal. These are all departments that procurement has to build trust with. And finance is one of those players, but can't be the only one. So understanding that, yes, there'll be financial goals, but there are also operational goals, legal risk and security risk that need to be accounted for. So understanding that total picture and where procurement sits can go a long way.
That broader value that can be offered to other parts of the organization. Some of the strongest procurement teams that I've seen work so incredibly well with their IT team or their marketing team or their facilities team, really understanding what it is they need, and almost in some ways can talk the language. I've seen it where, you know, that procurement person can make that business case as well as sometimes even better than the actual business stakeholder that they were trying to support. And I think it's a missed opportunity when finance teams don't appreciate that and allow that, give that time and space for procurement to be playing in those other areas where that value add that might be less measurable in terms of the final output of the negotiation, but are driving a lot of value in the organization with its processes, et cetera.
If you kind of look at it as an iceberg, people have perception of what they see happening with procurement, what procurement does, but there's a lot that goes on underneath. The business case example is key. Like for myself, before I'm going to be engaging with the business, I'll definitely do a little bit of research and understand that area of the business and what they're trying to achieve. So when you're going into that call, you can build that trust and say, hey, listen, I've either worked in this space before, or I did some pre-reading, and that goes a long way in building that trust and that confidence with the team to help on a business case and to help drive those results.
The other interesting thing that comes out of that is I often find procurement has a finger on the pulse of the culture or things that are going on in the business, whether it's things that are going well or where friction might be starting to arise. And that can be underappreciated as well. But similar to finance roles, this position sits at the intersection of different parts of the organization and sees across different siloed areas and can, whether it's identifying that, hey, there's two groups setting out to solve the same issue, or it's getting very frustrating for this team because of the way that you're handling the budgets and you know, we could be more supportive if we knew this about what we're trying to achieve here. So I think there's so many other value-added things that procurement can offer if we understand that that's the other values that can be had.
I always say that to a lot of people. I think working in procurement, when you start there, you kind of get a mini MBA. You're able to interact and work with so many different parts of the business. And that's kind of why I love it. You get those insights. You hear about the friction. You hear about the different purchases and programs going on at the company. And that's why, as a procurement professional, I do try to attend some sales meetings about sales, some about marketing, what's happening in dev. Even if I'm going to just get a few nuggets here and there, it's able to give me that confidence and upgrade my business acumen for down the line when they're going to come in handy. So I definitely do see procurement as a key cog in the process where you're kind of sitting in the middle.
When you think of some of the challenges, if we want to have a really high functioning procurement team, we want to be well aligned with the business strategies. What have you seen as some of the challenges of being able to have that alignment?
If you're not given all the information, or you're been given it late, or it's too late in the process because procurement hasn't been involved early, those are all things that usually create a lot of challenges. Then you're not able to communicate. You're not being able to bring the right stakeholders to the table in order to get a proper purchase across the line. So it causes, it's going to limit your short-term and your long-term wins.
Now, when you look ahead, what do you see coming when you think about where procurement is going to be evolving in the future, even given the backdrop of some economic uncertainty, technological change, artificial intelligence?
I've been playing around a lot with some AI tools that are in the market now, ChatGPT and others, and I'm already being able to use that and co-pilot in my day-to-day work. And seeing what the future looks like around with AI and AI agents, I think there's going to be a lot of change in this space around workflow. In the end, you can really boil down to the procurement tools down to workflows. And I think AI and AI agents play really nicely in that space. So I think that, along with some predictive capabilities, are really going to change what this space is going to look like in the next, I was going to say 3 to 5, but maybe even 1 to 3 years here in the short term.
And you touch on AI, using it. What have been some of the biggest things that you've been surprised about in terms of what you can do with AI and how it's helping purchasing already?
For a smaller procurement team, you can look at it almost like a junior analyst to review proposals, documents, help quickly search for clauses or gaps in contracts and agreements and business cases as well. So really having another set of eyes is what it's been for me so far. And I think I'm just scratching the surface as to what can be done with AI and generative AI at the moment. When you have leaner teams, which is I think where a lot of procurement is going, you're going to have to be a small part legal, a small part IT, security, finance, and having an assist from a co-pilot or a ChatGPT will go a long way.
And I have one more question for you. When you think about a high-functioning procurement team, what does that look like?
I think it is one with high business acumen that partners really well. You can't be single-minded. You have to know a lot about what your business does and other businesses, because you're constantly having conversations with vendors and stakeholders within your internal business. So you owe it to yourself to read, to listen, and to work with others in the organization to really learn about how a business runs and operates. And then also, you cannot forget that partnering is the most important thing. When you partner well with others in your business, it'll make the whole process a lot smoother, and it'll give you a lot more room to operate, try new strategies, and also make some mistakes. So yeah, partnering and business acumen are the main things.
Akhil, thank you so much for joining me and sharing your insights. Always appreciate having conversations with you. Whenever we have a guest on the show, we do have two rapid fire questions that we like to ask. So are you ready?
Always ready.
What is the hallmark of a mature finance organization, in your opinion?
I'm going to take the easy route and also say partnering. I think partnership has been great. When I've seen and worked with the best finance orgs, they always have that same mindset, whether they're in accounting, tax, financial planning, payroll. They always have that mindset that they're looking to build those relationships and they're looking to get the best outcomes for the business, instead of staying siloed and just heads down. So I'm going to go with they partner really well with the business.
Excellent. And we always like talking about business partnership on the show. So that one is near and dear to my heart for sure. The second question, what's your go-to strategy to stay productive during the workday?
Understanding when and how you work best. You need to have those data points. And once you have them, understanding that, hey, when it's time to focus and you have your most energy, do the hardest work. And on the times where it's a bit of a lull, that's when you can do some of the admin, less strategic, less impactful work that still needs to get done.
Akhil, thank you so much for joining me. Really appreciate it.
Oh, that was a lot of fun. Thank you.
Want to learn more about today's discussion? Check out the resources in our show notes. And don't miss out on future episodes. Subscribe to the CFO Show on your favorite podcast platform. For the CFO Show, I'm Melissa Howitson. Until next time.